It's so important that we understand the Holy Spirit. We learn about Him. And a few weeks ago, I had mentioned to you that we were going to be doing a series talking about the Holy Spirit. And I wanted to start that this week. I want to talk to you about the importance of the Holy Spirit. In the next coming weeks, we'll talk about the presence of the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll talk eventually about the gift of the Holy Spirit, what that means, the gift that God gives. Because this world tends to look at that and can say it's a weird thing, but it's a gift that God gives. But we have to start with an understanding of how important it is to be able to have an ear to hear the Holy Spirit. How many of you know that when you gave Jesus into you asked Jesus to come into your life, when Jesus came in, so did His Spirit. Did you know that? When you invited Jesus in, His Holy Spirit comes. And I want to today ask you to just open up your hearts, just to be receptive to what the Holy Spirit might want to say to you today. Maybe it's going to be just the time of teaching you a little bit more about the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? Over the next few weeks, we'll talk about why should I want, the Holy Spirit? What's so important about it? And most importantly, we'll get to eventually, what is this gift of the Holy Spirit that He gives? But for today's purpose, I want to focus with just the importance of the Holy Spirit. Now, there is an outline if you want to follow along in your bulletin. It is quite lengthy. You know, I made a lot of scripture references because when we talk about the Holy Spirit, it's one of the topics that we're very aware of, that there is a Holy Spirit, but it's one of those topics that we don't really know much about. Or where is that in the Bible, or how can I find it? So I put quite a few scripture references, and here's what I want to do. I want to ask you this week to, at some point throughout the week, read that text that I have at the top, John chapter 14, verses 8 through 21. This sets the stage, so to speak, sets the platform, if you will, to understand about the ushering in of the presence and the importance of the Holy Spirit. And I've got a lot of different scripture references, so I'm not trying to bog you down, but I wanted to give you some information on understanding how important the Holy Spirit is. Now, when we talk about discovering the Holy Spirit this morning, I'm not saying that we haven't discovered it, we haven't received it, we don't know about it, we're not aware of it. I'm not trying to say that it's not present, and so therefore we need to do some kind of a teaching on it. But let me also say that no matter how much you can teach on it, nothing replaces experiencing the presence of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing that replaces that, but just what is it that we need to know? We need to be lifelong learners. Can we all agree on that? A person who doesn't want to learn doesn't really care. A person that doesn't really care to learn doesn't invest. A person that doesn't care to learn doesn't give. They don't give. They don't grow. And so we've got to be lifelong learners. So if you're here today and you've been in this church even longer than I have, and you're saying, I've got this. I know the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows me. Then all I'm asking you to do is to ask Him, what is He speaking to you now? Today, what's that fresh new word? We just sang about a new wine, a new season, a new calling. What is it He's saying to you? And maybe you're here today and you're saying, I know nothing about the Holy Spirit. You know, I know He's there. I know we've talked about Him, but what does that mean for me? What does that mean for my life? Then I'd ask that you just keep your heart open to what the Holy Spirit might want to speak to you this morning, because we can grow together and learn to develop this within our life. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit doesn't become some weird, mystical thing. Here's my goal today, to just demystify the way the world has tried to take the Holy Spirit, make it something weird, make it something fanatical, make it something that it's not. It's just simply His presence. We learned that we serve a triune God, Father, Son, and what? Holy Spirit. The three are all one. You have Father God who sent His Son Jesus to die for you and me. And when Jesus left, He said, I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And so this Holy Spirit that He sent speaks to us, talks to us. You might say, well, I've never heard Him. And if you feel like you've never heard Him, it's not because He's not there. It's just we haven't learned to hear His voice. You know, I know my wife's voice. I know my son's voice. I know my daughter's voice. Why? Because I live with them under the same roof. I know their voice. But, you know, some other person that I don't recognize their voice, I have to hone in on that. I have to learn. The Holy Spirit, when He speaks to you, He does so in such a way because He wants to pour blessings into your life. He wants to pour favor into your life. So I don't wish to insult your intelligence this morning with a message that sounds simple, but I would like to challenge you. I'd like to challenge our hearts and our spirits this morning with an understanding how simple yet complex the Holy Spirit can be. Now, I wouldn't say that the Holy Spirit's simple like I'm trying to downplay it, simple like in terms of weak or puny or slow or uneducated. What I mean by when I say understanding the Holy Spirit is simple, it's when God through the Holy Spirit speaks, it's not demanding or waiting for an answer. For the Spirit of God is truth. Amen? The Spirit of God is truth. The Bible tells us that. What's left for you and me to do is simply this. When God speaks, that we obey. It's just when God speaks that we obey. So, on the count of three, everyone take a deep breath with me. One, two, three. Ah, relax. It's a Holy Spirit thing. You know, the world is going to constantly fight against it. And when we talk about the gift of the Holy Spirit, when we get to the third week here and we talk about this gift that God gives, we're going to create an opportunity where if you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can. But like any other gift, you can take it or you can leave it. There's nowhere in the Bible that it commands or demands that you and I have to receive this baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said, it's a gift that I give. But before we can talk about that, we have to understand, why should I want it anyway? What's so important about the Holy Spirit? Why should I want it? And then lastly, in the third week, we'll talk about how do I receive it? How do I receive this gift? See, there's a warfare that's going on in this world. Can we all agree on that? Okay, there is a spiritual battle. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, or at least we shouldn't be wrestling against flesh and blood. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, powers, forces of darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. You and I have our own real life Star Wars going on, okay? You are the star, and the war that is going on is for your soul. Darth Vader wants to steal, kill, and destroy, but be of good cheer. You've got an Obi-Wan Kenobi that has overcome. All right? For those of you, almost everybody knows Star Wars. And they know where this whole premise of when you watch the movie, Darth Vader bad, right? Obi-Wan Kenobi good. And what does Obi-Wan Kenobi do? He trains Luke Skywalker and he tells him to use the Force. If I were to, you know, take that analogy, I would say the Force that he uses is the Holy Spirit. Jesus, that we got an enemy that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But we can be of good cheer because Jesus has overcome the world. And then he says, I've given you my Holy Spirit. Use it. Use the Holy Spirit. This warfare is real. And when the enemy comes in and hits you strongly, the Lord moves even more strongly. And how does he do this? Well, he does it through two ways. The Word of God and the Spirit of God. Both. The Word of God and the Spirit of God. We're talking about the Spirit of God, and you'll see how they go hand in hand here in just a moment, because sometimes we think, well, it's all about the Word of God, and we ignore the Spirit, or we think it's all about the Spirit of God, and we ignore the Word. But the reality is these are two great tastes that go great together, right? It's a Reese's peanut butter cup, if you will. Who doesn't like chocolate and peanut butter? I'm sure there's a few, but for the most part, it's one of the greatest candies or desserts, but when we're talking about the Word of God, you got to have the Word of God and the Spirit of God working in unison together. You've got to have this balance and you've got to have this focus. So our emphasis should be on both. It should be on the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Sometimes people say, well, you need to have a balance between the two, don't you? But I don't believe that God necessarily agrees with that. What I mean by that is this. You might say, why wouldn't God agree with that having a balance? Here's why. Because I believe he says we don't need to have a balance on it. I think he says we need to go all out in both areas, the Word of God and the Spirit of God. There's no limit that we need to have. There's no limit that we need to make. Go all out when it comes to the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Now, there's not opposition between the two. It's not about balancing as much as it is about focusing. It's about making sure we understand the Word of God's important. Can we agree on that? Okay. The Spirit of God's important. Can we agree on that? How do they go together? You see, we can read the Word of God, but it's the Spirit of God that comes in and makes the Word of God applicable in your life today. If you have just the Spirit of God without His Word, then you start making stuff up. You start living the way that you think the Word of God should say. Or you listen to the world. You cannot compromise in these two areas, the Word of God and the Spirit of God. When you go to a different place or a different culture, what reaches a culture is the Word of God and the Spirit of God. In the book of John, it says that he is seeking a people who worship him in spirit and in truth, both. You have to be culturally sensitive to people, but not when it comes to spirit and truth. Yes, there's a balance, but it's not about 50-50. It's about 100%, 100%, going all out. If you were to live life, if you will, primarily with the word and no spirit, there's a danger of just becoming very legalistic. It can become like a cold skeleton that you're embracing. It's not very warm. There's not very much relationship. But if you lead out of the spirit with no word, then it's kind of like embracing jello. You know, everything's all loosey-goosey and there's no structure. There's no foundation. There needs to be a balance, but also a clear focus. So this morning, we're going to talk about the importance of the Holy Spirit. John 14, 16 says it this way. He said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. Forever. Now, that's pretty cool when you understand this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to come and die on a cross so you and I can have eternal relationship. But Jesus, when he rose from the dead, it says that at some point he left, and when he did, he said, I will leave another helper. I will leave somebody that will be with you forever. And some of us think maybe in a negative way, oh great, I got this helper forever. That means everywhere I go, I can never get away from this helper. I don't want to receive the Holy Spirit, because if I receive the Holy Spirit, then I can never get away with anything. Well, let me clear a few things up. Even if you didn't receive the Holy Spirit, but you have Jesus in your heart, you still can't get away with everything that you want to do that isn't right, because we've all already established when you ask Jesus into your heart, his Spirit comes in as well. But when we're talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit, it's about understanding it's just that. It's a gift that God wants to give. But we have to understand why it's important. We have to understand that walking or functioning in a way that we understand, okay, there's our Father God, there's Jesus who died for our sins, but the Holy Spirit's here, and he speaks to you. He speaks to me. And, you know, you might think at first, well, I'm not a spirit-filled person. I haven't received that. I don't do all those weird things that, you know, everyone says is spirit-filled weird things to do. First of all, we're going to clear this up in just a moment. We're going to address this. I'm just going to be kind of blunt with you guys, because I know the world looks at this and says, all those spirit-filled churches, they're weird, right? They're just, I've had people before, some say directly to me, some through the grapevine, don't go to that church, they're weird. Don't go to that church, they believe in that Holy Spirit stuff, that, you know, hubba bubba stuff. You know what I'm talking about? They start speaking in weird languages or something like that. I've had people even go so far as to say it's demonic. They're all misinformed. None of them understand that it's a gift. And they don't understand this. If you don't want it, you don't have to receive that. But that's the gift part. The Holy Spirit, when we ask Jesus into our life, it's something that he says, I want to help you through life. You see, if you think that by having the Spirit of God means you can not get away from things, the Holy Spirit's not there to, let me put it this way, he's not there to condemn you, okay? The Holy Spirit's there to help you. He's there, he may convict at times, but he's not there to condemn. So don't think for one minute that, you know, there's things that we can do that we can get away with, but the Spirit's primary goal is not to bring conviction, though he will. It's there to help and to lead and to love. Here's what it says in John chapter 15, verse 26. It says, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. One of the things that you'll notice in the Bible is that the Bible never refers to the Holy Spirit as an it. Did you notice that? It never referred to the Holy Spirit as an it. It's always a he, right? Well, why is that? Well, it's because if you never see the Holy Spirit as a he, as a person, then you will never develop a personal relationship with him. If it's an it, then it's a thing. It's an item. But it says right here, when the Helper comes, who I will send to you from the Father, it says, he will testify about me. Here we see that the Spirit of truth, they go, the Spirit and the Word, they go together. Take a look at John chapter 16. It's up on the screen, verse 7. Let's read that one together. You ready? Go. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. I will send who? I will send him to you. John chapter 16, verse 12 says, I have many more things to say to you, but cannot bear them right now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak. Do you see how often it refers to him as a he? It's about person being personal. It's about relationship. As a matter of fact, if you look in the New King James Version, it uses the word when it talks about a helper, and it uses a word called parakletos, okay? It's two words. Para is, and I put this in your outlines just so you can have the information and you can know, but para means to come alongside, all right? We have a lot of para educators in school, correct? What is the job of a para teacher, a para educator? Their job is to come alongside the student. And that next part of the word, when we say parakletos, kleto, means to throw. So if it literally means to come alongside or to throw alongside. The King James Version says the word comforter. I will send to you the comforter. How many of you have had a new comforter in your house? Anybody? You know, you put a comforter on the bed, or maybe you put a comforter across the couch or whatever it is. Here's the one thing that I find very interesting. Whenever we get a new comforter and we put it in the guest room for the guest, guess who doesn't get to use it? Me. Why? Because the comforter's there for the guest. It's not there for you. And I pick on my wife, but I remember one time, a number of years ago, she bought new towels. I thought, ooh, we're getting new towels, you know, new bath towels. And so she gets them all ready, takes them upstairs. I go to grab one of the new towels, and she says, oh, no, those are for the guest. I said, excuse me? And I'm sure she got them from IKEA. I'm almost sure. And she said, these are the guest towels. And I said, well, why can't I use them? We don't have any guests in our house right now. I'm not supposed to use these? And I said, hold on just a minute. I said, did we pay for these towels? She said, yeah. I said, did we pay for this house? Yeah. So I can use a towel. And she said, no. Why? Because they're for the guest. And it got me thinking about this fact right here. How many churches have a comforter that's available to them, but they don't know that they can use it? They don't know. They know that they're not aware of the job, or they're not aware of what the Holy Spirit wants to do. He wants to come alongside and help. He wants to come alongside and comfort. But yet we've been taught maybe somehow, some way in our past that's just there for the guest. That's just there for show. That's just there for church. But it's not there for my everyday life. And we miss out on who the Holy Spirit really is. He is your helper. How many of you have ever needed help in your life at all? Ever? Well, all of us would have to raise our hand and our feet. Because we have all needed help in our life. It's a sad thing to know that you have something that can bring you great comfort, but you feel like you're not allowed to use it. Too many times we'll get stuck in worshiping the idea that we can serve a comforter, but we can't take refuge in his arms. And could it be that we don't understand all that God is offering us through the power and the presence of his Holy Spirit? Not that we don't know or like we're uninformed. Rather, I'm talking about a knowing experientially. We all know that there's a Holy Spirit. We all know the Spirit of God. But do you know it here or do you know it here? Does it bleed out into your hands and your feet? When you're going through a difficult time, do you talk to God in a way and then listen for his Holy Spirit to speak to you on what the next thing is to do? You see, that's what the Holy Spirit will do. He'll come alongside. His desire is that we know him experientially. And so we've got to have that balance. We've got the Word of God, the Spirit of God. And we've got to find ourselves balanced in the middle. I've shared with you that we would take our kids camping, hiking. We go on trails at night. And I always had a story for every trail that was at our campground. You remember that? And one particular night we were going, and we had a group of kids, Seth and Drea and their friends. And the deal was, I'll tell you a story, because we're hiking at midnight on this trail. I'll tell you a story. If you get scared, all you have to do is tap out. We'll go back. No questions asked. Okay. And we get walking, and everywhere we walked, I noticed Seth was strategically placing himself right in the middle. He'd let, you know, 2-3 people go in the front, 2-3 people behind. If they ever moved, he'd move, and he'd stay in the middle. And he's being kind of weird about it, you know? So finally, I just said, Seth, what are you doing, man? He says, I'm staying in the middle. I said, why? He goes, because I watch Scooby-Doo. If anything happens, the guy in the middle is always safe. It's the ones at the beginning, at the end that get taken, right? And I said, well, that's pretty smart, actually. Yeah, I get it. What's my point? You want to be right in the center of what God is doing, what God is saying, what God is speaking. And the only way that you can do that is to have a good balance of His Word and His Spirit. Just because we don't completely understand the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that we shouldn't embrace or let Him lead, let Him comfort, or let Him help us. See, how sweet it would be if we could learn from the Holy Spirit that He's not just something to read about in the Bible. He's not something that we just get secondhand from your dad or your dad's dad or the barber down the shop. It's something that you can experience firsthand in a relationship with God. See, this is a Holy Spirit that blesses you. He blesses you in your busy day, and you're coming out of a hectic week, and you're going into a lion's den. He keeps you standing tall in the midst of everything that you face. He's not just something that you hear about. He's someone that you get to relate to. You get to live life with. That's what the Holy Spirit is, but so much more. Now, in an effort to talk about the importance of the Holy Spirit and who He is, I don't want to keep it, like I said, I don't want to insult your intelligence on the Holy Spirit, but we got to start somewhere, right? If we're going to learn more about the Holy Spirit, next week, if we're going to learn about the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life, if we're going to learn later about the gift of the Holy Spirit, we have to start with just a good foundation. So I'm not trying to insult your intelligence, but who is the Holy Spirit? Oh, what is the Holy Spirit? When we don't know how it all works, it's easy to just say, that's just weird stuff. I don't want to think about it, or I don't need to think about it. But what I want us to do is to just learn some basic principles about the Holy Spirit so we don't miss out on God's blessings. I want to give you three today, three basics to know about the Holy Spirit. They're going to be real simple, and you're going to find that I'll give them to you real quick, but then we'll go through them. You're going to find out, number one, that the Holy Spirit is your helper. You're going to find out that He's your friend, and you're going to find out that He's your God. That's the three things you're going to learn. I hope just remember those three things. He is my helper, He is my friend, and He is my God. So when I talk about Jesus, number one, being my helper, He said in the Scripture, it's better that I go. It's better that I go. Do you believe that it's better for the helper to be here with us than Jesus? Well, if you don't understand it, you don't know how to answer that times, But Jesus said, I must go. And because I go, I can send another helper to you. And that's the Holy Spirit. Have you ever needed a helper in your life? I ask again. Well, we've all needed that. But I'm not just talking about help finding, you know, something that you lost. I'm talking about help in your thinking, help in your career, help with your finances, help with direction and purpose in life. Have you ever needed that kind of help? Counsel's good. But nothing replaces what the Holy Spirit has to say. Because Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all three, one God. You want to hear from the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you what. There's nothing more frustrating than when I'm looking for something in the house and I can't find it. I know I saw it. This happens to me more times than I'd like to admit. But usually it happens with my glasses because I can see you all just fine. Right, but when I'm working with something up close, I can't see. So I'll set my glasses down and I'll start to work on something, but then I'll get going somewhere else and doing something else. Now I can't find my glasses. Number one, I can't remember where they're at. Number two, I can't see now to see my glasses if I wanted. So many times I'm going, has anybody seen my glasses? And I'm sure everyone in the house is like, oh my gosh, again, here we go. But welcome to my life, you know. But even with my glasses on, when I can see, there's times when I'm looking for something. It could be a wallet. It could be my phone. It could be whatever it is. And I know I saw it on the main level, on the kitchen, in the island, and I go look, and it's not there. And then I go to the other room, and I look, and it's not there. I go upstairs. I go in the bedroom. I go to the basement. I go to the garage. I go to the car. And after 30 minutes of this, I'm completely frustrated, and I say, Lisa, have you seen my phone? And she walks over in 10 seconds and says, it's right here. Boom, and it was in front of me the whole time. Come on, guys, has that ever happened to you? It irritates me. I can't find it. I've been looking everywhere, and I'll ask her, and she will help me find something I couldn't find. She will help me locate. Okay, that can be frustrating, but you know what's even more frustrating? Is when I'm going through life, and it seems like life isn't hitting on all the right cylinders. Why am I going through this thing in my job? Why is this happening to me right now? Why are you changing direction and you don't know what to do? One of the things you can understand is this. The Holy Spirit is your helper. Go to Him and say, what do you have to say? What do you have to say? And He will help you. It's exactly what the Holy Spirit does. Now, don't get me wrong. He's not some genie in a bottle where, you know, this afternoon when you're looking for the remote to change the channel and you can't find it, you say, Holy Spirit, where's my remote? Okay, He may show you. I don't know. I'm not the Holy Spirit. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about harnessing the Holy Spirit so you can make Him your genie in a bottle. It's about knowing that He is the creator of the universe. He sent His Son and His Holy Spirit for you and me to tell us what the next steps are in life. The Holy Spirit is your helper. I'm talking about a Holy Spirit we can call upon when we're in trouble. And He already knows about the trouble before we ever knew we were in trouble. And He already has the answer. And He'll give it to you if you will come and ask. But how many times have we not come to Him? Oh, we've cried out in panic. Dear Lord, please help me. I'll never do that again. That's not seeking the Holy Spirit. It is and it isn't. You get what I'm saying? I'm not talking out of panic. I'm not talking out of necessarily, Jesus, you're my last hope. Jesus is always our first and only hope. That's the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about when you're depressed. I'm talking about when your marriage feels like it's failing or falling apart. I'm talking about when the bank says something about your account and you don't like what it has to say. Holy Spirit, I need your help. Holy Spirit, I need to know what direction to take. Holy Spirit, I need to see you now. I am a living testimony that the Holy Spirit will speak to you and tell you what is next to do in life. You guys have heard our testimony. Lisa and I didn't have it all figured out. It's easy to look at us right now and think we've got things figured out. We don't have everything figured out. Nobody has everything figured out. But I can tell you about 30-something years ago, I didn't know which way was up or down. I lived for me. And it wasn't until I came to Jesus and got my heart right with Jesus that all of a sudden His Holy Spirit started to speak to me. See, if you don't have Jesus in your life, you're not able to hear what the Holy Spirit's speaking. But when I invited Jesus, I heard the Holy Spirit go into ministry. Oh, I can't do that, Jesus. Do you know all the mistakes I've made? That's a stupid question, by the way. Of course He knows. I said, do you know all the things I've done wrong? Do you know all the sin I've committed? To which He said, yeah. But when I gave that up, He forgave and He forgot. And He said, move on, do this. And the Holy Spirit started to speak to me. Now I have a choice. Am I going to obey and do what He says or not? And because of that, He started taking the pieces of my life that felt like it was all blown up, and He started to take those pieces, and He didn't put them back together necessarily, so I had the same old gym that was once there. He took those pieces and He created a brand new picture. He restored our marriage. He gave vision and direction, and He will do the same thing for you because He is your helper. I'm talking about a Holy Spirit that speaks to you to maneuver you in the paths of life. But the question remains, are you going to make room for a helper? Are you going to make room for a helper? You guys remember Kenny Rogers? I think I got my love of music from my mom. My mom always had music going on, and she wouldn't tell you in 1970 that she was playing it, but it's not 1970 anymore, you know? She loved Kenny Rogers. She loved Alabama. I got the, you know, roll on. You know, I know all the Alabama songs, but I remember his one song, The Gambler. Remember that song? You got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, and what? I just wanted to know if you knew the song, so. Know when to run. How are you going to know what to hold on to and what to let go of if you don't have a helper in your life? Oh, helpmates are great. Relationships are great. But we're talking about the Holy Spirit. He is your helper. John 16, verse 8 says, when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they don't believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. You see, it is the job of the Holy Spirit to convict the world of sin. But he's not here. Have you ever wondered why, when you're doing something you know you shouldn't do, and you have that awkward, uncomfortable feeling on the inside that won't go away, telling you not to do it? That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. Have you ever taken something, five-finger discounted something, you know, whatever it is, you did something you knew wasn't right, and there's something inside of you that's saying, don't do it. Yeah, it's your conscience, but it's also the Holy Spirit. He's convicting you because you know it's not right. He says, don't look at that, don't smoke that, don't drink that, don't, you know, fill in the blank. There's so many things we could try to find happiness in. But he will convict and say, that's not basically the best for you. He'll tell you things not to do. I know growing up, you know, there's things I did that I knew I shouldn't do. I knew it wasn't right, you know, to steal something. I knew it wasn't right to take something. I knew it wasn't right to rip the heads off the dolls of my sister, but, well, that one actually felt kind of good, but you know what I mean. There's things you do that you know is you shouldn't do. And as we go through life, when you're making decisions about direction in life, purpose, to start a family, not start a family, am I going to tithe, am I not going to tithe? Am I going to feed myself spiritually? Am I going to invest in this marriage? The Holy Spirit will help you to know what it is that you need to do. And when there's something wrong, he'll convict you. Why would he do that? I don't want to be convicted. Well, would you rather be condemned? No. Okay, well, conviction is not a bad thing. Because when we hear conviction, we think of jail. We think of prison. We think of law and order. But when the Holy Spirit convicts, he says, I'm convicting you and telling you not to do that because that's not the best thing for you. I got something better. Something better. Let me help you. And the Holy Spirit will do just that. He will speak to you. Have you ever come home and found your significant other, your spouse, in a bad mood? And just things aren't going good. And, you know, maybe you come in and they're slamming doors and kicking things around and they're mad and angry. And you go in with this mentality of, I'm going to try to fix it. But then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit goes, I wouldn't go in there. And you go, really? What should I do? Maybe you should take her out on a date. I can do that. He'll help you. Do you really think the Holy Spirit would speak in ways like that? He does to me. Now, let me clarify. My wife does not slam doors and kick things around. It was an illustration. That's all it was. But I will say this. There's times when I've come home and whatever's going on in my family, Holy Spirit will tell me, what you see is not all that there is to see. There's something else going on. Make sure to shut your mouth and open your ears. Got it. On it. But you see, I can listen to that and let him help me, or I can ignore that, and I can pave my own path. So the Holy Spirit will help you. Number two, as I said, he's my friend. And not only is he my friend, but he's my friend and he's not weird. You can't talk about the Holy Spirit and not say, why do some people think he's weird and some people don't? It's because they don't understand. When you don't understand, there's this aura, this weirdness that feels like. See, you may not know this, but did you know there's a lot of weird people in this world? Did you know that? There is a lot of weird people. I mean, weird, weird, weird. And the problem is when like I said, I'm going to try to be very transparent. I'm not trying to be blunt, but I've even been in some scenario situations in churches where they love Jesus, but they're weird. They're weird. There's this weirdness that takes place. And the problem is they blame their weirdness on the Holy Spirit. They blame it on him. We can be spirit-filled, led, empowered church without being spooky or weird. If anyone is acting in a manner that is not consistent with order and clear communication, then they are acting outside of the realm of the Holy Spirit, and they are the one that is weird, not the Holy Spirit. Well, how do you know that? Because the Word of God says in there that he's a God of order, not chaos. He's a God that has a strong foundation. He's not all over the place, and there's a strong foundation that's there. And when we get caught up in the weirdness, spiritually speaking, if I can say it that way, we're going to think it's not spiritual until somebody's swinging from a chandelier. And just because you're swinging from a chandelier doesn't make you more spiritual. It just makes you weird. It just makes you weird. The Holy Spirit is your friend. He says, I want to help you, and I'm your friend. And he doesn't bring any of that weirdness. Now, I know some of us would say, well, I can understand that. I get that. I actually kind of like that. I actually find some peace in the fact of knowing that being Spirit-filled or Spirit-led doesn't make me weird. But remember this too. When you're doing what you're doing and you're calling it spiritual, just because you call it spiritual doesn't make it spiritual, okay? That's why you need him as your helper. You need him as your friend so you can hear what he says. Have you ever run into somebody that maybe has said, well, I heard the Lord or I heard the Holy Spirit, and I just have to give it the way the Holy Spirit gives it to me. And we got to be careful when we say things like that, because that's being spiritually irresponsible, if I can say it that way. Well, this is what the Holy Spirit spoke to me, so when he gave it to me this way, I'm going to give it this way to you, and that's just the way it is. No, don't blame your personality on the Holy Spirit. If you were rude at all before the Holy Spirit, and you start dishing it out the same way, you're still rude. You need to be willing to submit and surrender and say, what's the Holy Spirit speaking to me? And then how can I apply it first and then allow it to be transferred through my life to those that I encounter? The Holy Spirit is my friend. John chapter 15 says, you are my what? Friends. Right there in the Bible. You are my friends when you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for a slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, he says twice now, for all things I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. I believe there's four evidences of the Holy Spirit. You're going to have power, you're going to have love, you're going to have fruit, and there's going to be gifts. And if you speak in tongues, which is a spiritual gift that we'll talk about more later, if you speak in tongues but you don't have love, you're missing out. Because it always comes back to love. He's your helper. He's your friend. And then number three, he's your God. He's your God. There needs to come a renewed respect, if you will, for the awe of the Holy Spirit of God. Check out these verses. I referenced them. I gave you a bunch. You can look them up later. But these are the four there. John 14, 15, Luke 3, and Matthew 28. He says in John 14, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and bring to your remembrance the things that I said. He says then in John 15, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father in the Spirit of truth, it's the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me, and you will testify also, because you have been with me from the beginning. Luke chapter 3, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form, like a dove, and a voice came from heaven. We've heard this verse before, you are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Matthew 28, he says, so go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and what? Holy Spirit. See, Jesus never, the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, they never work independently upon their own. The three are one, the triune God. The Holy Spirit is God. Here's a question, though. Have you ever thought about how the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit keep deferring to one another? It's like they come up to Jesus. You got the Father and the Holy Spirit. This is just how my brain works, okay? But I see the Father and I see the Holy Spirit coming up to Jesus and just saying, man, your teachings are so cool. And Jesus just says, I only do that which I see the Father do. But Jesus, you cast out demons, but I only do that because of the Spirit of God. And then they come up to the Father God, and they say, Father, we just love you. And he says, but I've exalted the Son. And they come to the Holy Spirit and say, you know, you're just amazing. And the Holy Spirit says, I just bring to remembrance what Jesus says. I just keep pointing to him. You see what I'm saying? They keep deferring to one another. And if we could listen into a conversation in heaven, it sounds to me like this. This would be a conversation between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're great. No, you're great. No, you're great. No, you're great. And it just keeps going on for an eternity. Just keeps going on for an eternity. You know, Acts chapter 5, it says that Peter was speaking and he said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? It goes on and says more there, but my point is simply this. He says, why has he filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Because lying to the Holy Spirit is the same thing as lying to Jesus, same thing as lying to God. The Holy Spirit is God. He's not some force that's out there somewhere. He is God, sent in the form of a helper to point back to Jesus, to which Jesus points back to the Father. Most of the time when we say, God spoke to me this morning, you know what that is? When you feel like, I think God spoke to me. You know how he did that? Through his Holy Spirit. That's how he revealed it to you. When I come to you and I say, you know, the Lord really spoke to my heart, this message, you know, whatever. What I'm saying is the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I heard what he said, and I started writing real quick because I want to know what he has to say, because the Holy Spirit is God. He's not God's part-time employer. He's not a volunteer. He is God. And it's important to know not only that there is a God that loves you, and not only did he send his son Jesus to die for our sins, but he gave us the Holy Spirit. Don't make him into something he's not. Just receive him for what he is. He's a helper, he's your friend, and he's your God. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to ask if you just close your eyes with me as we prepare to close. And I want to ask this. Would you just keep your heart open and receptive to whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do? Over these next couple weeks, we'll learn about his gifts. We'll learn more about the Holy Spirit. But don't let the enemy turn it into something it's not. Don't let anybody else turn it into something it's not. Let it become a gift that God gives to you that you can unpack, that you can experience in your life. And so, Jesus, we ask today that as we leave this place, that it would be seed that would be planted in good soil, that the enemy would not snatch it away, but instead we'd be able to see fruit come forth in the name of Jesus. Teach us over these weeks just how powerful you are, how valuable your presence is, and help us with our own understanding when we struggle. In Jesus' name, amen, church.